Good morning. Welcome to the service at St. Matthew's United Methodist Church. My name is Chino Chan, the lead pastor. I'm so glad that you have chosen to join us today as we worship God together and have fellowship. We would love to get connected to you. You may send me an email, or you may join us at virtual coffee hour on Zoom. You can find the Zoom link and my email address on this YouTube page and on the church website. Welcome.
The entire Bible has been translated into over 500 languages from its original writings in Greek, Aramaic, and Hebrew. And there are at least some portions of the Bible in over 2,500 languages. No wonder there are innumerable translations. A Latin version of the Bible dominated Western Christianity through the Middle Ages called the Vulgate, or Common Version, not to be confused with toothpaste for vultures. Vulgate. The Vulgate was a late 4th century translation, largely the work of a man named Jerome. Just Jerome. I don't know if that was his first or last name. We just call him Jerome. Jerome was commissioned by Pope Damasus I in 382 AD. Now, the Hebrew Bible, the Tanakh, was only mostly written in Hebrew. Some portions were actually in Aramaic. And while the New Testament was written in Greek, the original Greek writings written by the original authors of the New Testament have not survived, but copies have, transmitted and preserved in a number of different versions. Now, scholars have been trying to classify their relative reliability for centuries. Ancient scribes, copy the earlier books and sometimes wrote notes in the margin to correct or comment about the text. And then when later scribes were, copying the copy, they were sometimes confused by the note. Is it corrected text or just a comment or reminder to buy milk? Now, over time, different regions, different versions, new omissions, various editions. Again, no surprise, another version of the Bible. Now, a 2012 survey from the Christian Booksellers Association lists the most popular versions of the Bible sold by their members in the United States. The top three, based on both dollar and unit sales, are the New Living Translation, the King James Version, and the New International Version. That's right. Let's give them. Sure, yeah. Give them a round of applause. All right. But, hey, folks. Let's not forget the American Standard Version, the Revised Standard Version,
the New International Version, the English Standard Version, New Century Version, the International Leaders Version, the Message, the World English Bible, the English Bible, the English Bible, the English Translation.
Whew. I'm sure I left a few out there. In the United Methodist Church, the most often used translation is the New Revised Standard Version. However, I don't think it matters as much which one you pick up, as long as you do pick one up. In all its translations, the Bible remains the best-selling book of all time. Not only God's interaction with people throughout history, but a way to better understand what God is saying to us today. To learn more, ask your pastor. Tell them Chuck sent you.
Good morning. Welcome to the service at St. Matthew's United Methodist Church. My name is Chino Chan, the lead pastor. I'm so glad that you have chosen to join us today as we worship God together and have fellowship. We would love to get connected to you. You may send me an email, or you may join us at virtual coffee hour on Zoom. You can find the Zoom link and my email address on this YouTube page and on the church website. Welcome.
So people ask me, do you have to read the Bible literally? And the answer to that sort of hinges on what part of it you're reading. So when you read, you go to the beginning, you read the story of Adam and Eve and the Garden of Eden, those are archetypal stories. They're really not trying to tell us a history of some ancient people who lived millennia or maybe hundreds of thousands of years ago. They're trying to tell us about ourselves. And so in those stories, we don't read them so much literally. We read the truth in them. They're archetypal stories, and we also are Adam and Eve. If you miss that, if you try to read that as history and you fail to understand that the real import of those texts is to tell us about ourselves, you've missed the truth of those stories. But you come to the Gospels and the stories of Jesus, and those become, well, we read those much more literally. Now, we recognize even in the Gospel accounts, there are different ways of telling the story. So I read them, and I take the main idea and the things that Jesus is saying. But, for instance, Jesus ascends to heaven from where? In one Gospel, he ascends to heaven from the Galilee. In another Gospel, he ascends to heaven 90 miles south of there in Jerusalem, at Bethany. So if I'm reading them literally, I have a problem. But if I'm reading them and saying, okay, these are two different accounts, they're two different recollections of the same story, I'm not so caught up in did it happen in Bethany or Jerusalem, but I believe it happened. Depending on which part of the Bible we're reading, we read it more or less literally. There's poetry in the Bible, and so you read that as poetry. There's wisdom literature, you read it as wisdom literature. But there are other stories, like the story of Jonah in the belly of the whale, and that story, I think, is one that's meant to be read prophetically. We read it, and we understand that it's making a point. And the point is Jonah's hardness of heart and not willing to preach repentance and is getting stuck in the belly of the whales where we often get stuck. Did it happen literally? I'm okay if it did. But I don't think that was the point. I don't think the point is to tell us about somebody who was swallowed by a big fish. I think it was to tell us about our own hardness of heart and God's relentless mercy, even for the people who are the enemies of God. And so I'd say some places you read it more literally than other places. Always you're listening for the truth with a capital T. What is God trying to teach us through our sacred story?
Want to learn more about United Methodist beliefs? Visit umc.org/beliefs. To find a pastor to talk to and a church to visit, try Find a Church at umc.org/FAC.
Good morning. Welcome to the service at St. Matthew's United Methodist Church. My name is Chino Chan, the lead pastor. I'm so glad that you have chosen to join us today as we worship God together and have fellowship. We would love to get connected to you. You may send me an email, or you may join us at virtual coffee hour on Zoom. You can find the Zoom link and my email address on this YouTube page and on the church website. Welcome.
With that much flavor, it's awesome.
The bread oven has enabled us to take our altar from inside the church to the front lawn.
What brought me to Hamlin United Methodist Church was walking by and seeing the bread oven.
We literally have people walking up the streets and coming up to the church to see what we're doing with the oven. I'm Mariah Furness-Tolgard. I'm the lead pastor here at Hamlin Church United Methodist in St. Paul, Minnesota. Tonight is our pizza and a movie night. We have our brick oven all fired up.
We have over 30 volunteers who have come together to bake over 100 pizzas for the whole neighborhood. And there people can bring whatever they'd like to lay out on the lawn and watch Shaun the Sheep.
The point is modeling Jesus' radical hospitality of just opening up the church, opening up our hearts. What better way to bring the community together than literally moving our altar from inside the church to the front lawn?
Walking in the front door of a church, not knowing a single person, is a pretty tough event for a family. What we have found is by having some community events, they kind of get to know who we are, and they kind of, I get the sense they see us as being pretty comfortable people to be around.
So I've walked by the church and looked at the gargoyles many times because they're real pretty, but I've never had an opportunity to talk to people. But after seeing a lit oven with people standing around it, I felt comfortable walking up and asking them what they were doing.
Food brings the people together. That makes them to socialize.
So when people stop by, oftentimes they'll want to know how they can get involved in our community garden. They want to know how they can get involved with the bread oven. They'll come into the church and ask us to put them on the email list.
My first day in the church was a large focus on neighboring and hospitality and how do we build community. And that's something that's very important to me. The bread oven has been a big part of that.
I was looking for a community, a place where I could come and worship with my family and be part of a group. Sounds kind of silly, but actually one of the reasons I became a member of the church is because of getting involved with the bread oven.
It has opened up a new way for us to be a part of our community. And churches could take many approaches to doing this, but the important thing is just getting out and getting to know your neighbors. And doing so has also reinvigorated our church and inspired a lot of people to get involved in the new form of ministry and pursue a passion that they didn't even know they had.
This video was brought to you by the people of the United Methodist Church through World Service donations.
Good morning. Welcome to the service at St. Matthew's United Methodist Church. My name is Chino Chan, the lead pastor. I'm so glad that you have chosen to join us today as we worship God together and have fellowship. We would love to get connected to you. You may send me an email or you may join us at virtual coffee hour on Zoom. You can find the Zoom link and my email address on this YouTube page and on the church website. Welcome.
Thank you. Amen. Good morning. Welcome you all to worship service at St. Matthew's United Methodist Church. Yeah, I know I look different today with the mask. Our reentry task force advised all the worship leaders and preacher keep wearing the mask, you know, during the worship hours. We are trying this, you know, for better safety, but we are aware that some people may need to read the lips, you know, to understand better. So as we practice this, please give us a feedback. You know, you may leave it on the chat or send me email or send the chairperson of the reentry task force. So let us communicate. So while we pay attention to our safety, and also we would also like to find some ways to have a continue to have a good communication too. Tomorrow is Martin Luther King Jr.'s Day, and this week we'll have new momentum in our history. We may have a lot of thoughts. We may be dealing with a lot of emotions at this point. But this morning, as we gather together in the name of Jesus Christ, we together decide to stand on God's promises. God, Almighty God, God has the greatest care for us and love for us. We want to focus and refocus on God. So let us stand together on God's promises. And during this worship hour, may God bless you, every single one of you, and bless our country, that we may find new light and hope together. Let us worship God together.
Let us unite our hearts and minds in prayer together. Many are your gifts and greater your mercies, O God. We are grateful for this day and for this time which calls us together and to you. You know the challenges of these days, O God. We are pained and anxious. We are worn and tested. We are mourning and uncertain. Help us to remember that your love never ends. When all else fails, you still are God, and we pray to you for one another in our need and for all anywhere who are in need today. To those who doubt, give light. To those who are weak, strength. To all who have sinned, mercy. And to all who sorrow, your peace. Keep true in us the love with which we hold one another. In all our ways, we do trust you. Continue to surround us with grace and fill us with strength and hope. Bless us in our worship today and as we serve in this world. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Amen. God is good. All the time. All the time. God is good. Yes, God is good all the time. God's love endures forever. God is above all things. So let us sing this song forever as we praise the Lord. You can find this hymn in number 3023 in our new hymnal, the green hymn, the worship and song. If you always wanted but have not, please stop by the hospitality area in the church, and we have all three hymnals that you can borrow. Please sign them up. So again, it's Worship and Song, page 3023, forever. Excuse me.
To the Lord, our God and King, His love endures forever. For His good is above all things, His love endures forever. We praise,
Everybody, we're back. We made it. Josiah really wanted to say hi. That's Josiah. We're back. We made it. Today we're talking about Psalm 139, which is a really famous and beautiful passage. And it says, "I am beautifully and fearfully, wonderfully made." Now, I was thinking about what are some things that might be really unique about you. So, what is something that's unique about you that doesn't apply to anybody else? Have you thought of anything?
A really good storyteller.
You are a good storyteller. That's true. Anything else?
I'm good at jokes.
You're good at jokes. Maybe you all at home be thinking about this along with your families. What's something that makes you you? Yeah, you're funny. I have a birthmark. Some of the people have birthmarks. I have a big old birthmark on my arm that looks like Puerto Rico. Oh, something that's unique about me that you all may or may not know is that I've lived all over the world. I've lived in California and Florida and Virginia. I grew up in a lot of different places. And then I also lived in Germany for a few years growing up. So not everybody lives like that, but a lot of people who grow up in military families do. So. My dad was in the Air Force.
I'm a really good Lego builder.
Yes, you are. So, those are maybe some things that make you unique. And my other question to you all is, and this is another question you guys can ask yourselves and your families, what makes you you? What's something that, if you put it all together, that's what makes Josh or Josiah? Is it, maybe think about, like, the way you look. That's part of us.
The way I believe.
The what you believe, what you think, the way you act, where you live, what communities you live in. There's lots of things that make you you. Well, in the passage that we were looking at today, Psalm 139 says, "For it was you, God, who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works that I know full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth." So this passage is saying that from the time that we were born, God was involved. God was there. God was part of the creative energy that made us. Did you know that you were made with creative energy from God? God got on his smock, or God's smock, and her clays and pottery wheels, and got all of their stuff together, and started making you. And God got really, really creative and made us.
Like, he took some dust, stardust,
yeah.
And took some bubble gum.
You think we're made from stardust and bubblegum? I think you might be made from stardust and bubblegum, sure. Sometimes we may not be thinking great thoughts about ourselves. Sometimes we get down on ourselves. And it's a good thing to remember that God made us from the stars and was a creative. And we were a piece of art that God made. Isn't that pretty cool? And I'm going to let you all know another little secret. God isn't done making us. Did you know that? We're still being made. That's what the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit lives in our lives. She continually works to make us and renew us. And our, it's like our hearts and our minds, as well as our spirits, keep growing. And of course, some of you are still bodily growing as well, like you. You're still growing. You're getting taller every day. You're going to get too tall before you know it. But in our lives, we're always, hopefully, growing closer to God and growing closer to others. We can actually learn how to love. We can learn how to become better disciples. So the next time you pray, think about this. Thank God for how you were made and who you are, but also who you're becoming. Because in God, we are all becoming, and we even say that we are becoming more like Jesus. So let's pray for that now together. Dear God, thank you for fearfully and wonderfully making us. Thank you for making us your children who loves us for just the way we are, the way that you made us. Thank you also for always making us and remaking us and for helping us to continue to grow in you. In your name we pray. Amen. Have a great week, everybody.
Deo dicamus gratia, Deo gratia, Deo dicamus gratia, Deo gratia. Deo dicamus gratias, Deo gratias, Deo dicamus gratias, Deo gratias. Benedicamus Domino, Benedicamus, Benedicamus Domino, Deodicamus gratias, Deo gratias.
This morning's scripture lesson is taken from the 13th chapter of Matthew's Gospel. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he scattered the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God.
Amen.
We listen to God's good news through this parable, the parable of soils, according to the Gospel of Luke last 2 weeks. Back to basics. We want to begin our new chapter of the year 2021 with reading and listening to God's word. And I invite you to examine what attitudes you have in reading and listening to God's word. Are you like the path? Or like the rocky ones? Well, like the soil with the thorns and weeds, or the good soil, or all of them back and forth. I believe the bottom line is that we constantly do our best to tune in with God by taking time and listening to God each and every day. Have you started reading the Bible? Have you started using the Bible app I introduced, the YouVersion? You can find that article about the app I wrote in our weekly news from last week. If yes, I celebrate it with you. If no, I sincerely encourage you to begin the journey right now. God wants to speak to you. God wants to tell you something important. You don't want to ignore God, do you? Years ago, God called Martin Luther King Jr., and he answered yes to God's call. He listened. He constantly paid attention and listened to God. He didn't know what the future held, but he knew God held his future and the future God wanted to make through him for this country. I don't believe he had the whole picture. Rather, it was so uncertain. But he took his faith in God and took the first step. He said, quote unquote, "Faith is taking the first step, even when you can't see the whole staircase." As we have been dealing with extreme uncertainty as individuals and also as a nation, I urge ourselves to begin a new year, a new chapter of our history with the basics. Listen to God. Breathe in, listen to God's Bible. Each and every day, spend time with God and listen to what God has to say to you, what God wants you to hear. Even you can't see the whole staircase, take the first step with the faith that God wants to make changes in and through us. While doing it, remember another basic. So today we are going to talk about another basic. Let us listen to what God has to say through today's scripture reading from the Gospel according to Matthew. This parable is known as the parable of soils. Also, it is also known as the parable of sower, S-O-W-E-R. We focused on the soils last 2 weeks, and today we are going to focus on the sower this morning. When my son Josh was about 5 years old, we went to Six Flags. Excitement. When he saw one of the huge roller coasters, He got so excited. How about you? You get so excited when you see that huge roller coaster? Dad, I want to ride that one. Which one? That one, that big one. It seems that it's only for adults, son. But let me check it first, okay? So I checked the sign, and it said that he could ride. Yeah, he was able to ride. He was allowed to ride if he was accompanied with me. But at the moment, I hesitated to give him that information. Should I tell him he's too short to take it, or should I tell him the truth? Why? Because the roller coaster looks so scary to me. After all, I decided to tell him the truth. Because thank God, I didn't forget that he knew how to read. Yeah, son, you can ride. But you should sit with me, okay? Yeah! Yeah! He was thrilled throughout the whole waiting time. Finally, it was our turn. It was moving up first. Giggy, 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 giggy. I know it's going to go down soon. I gotta be ready. I talk to myself. Going up and down and then going up and down again. I had to scream, but I didn't want to look sissy to my 5-year-old son, so he screamed, yay! Instead of, ah! You know? Oh my gosh. I don't remember how many times he went ups and downs. All I remember is that he went ups and downs. Then when the roller coaster stopped, Joshua said, Dad, it was so fun. It was so fun, isn't it? He fully enjoyed all the ups and downs. People often say life is like a roller coaster. There are so many ups and downs in our lives. Ups and downs and ups and downs. And ups and downs. On my way back home from Six Flags, I had to ask this question to myself. Like Josh fully enjoyed all the ups and downs throughout the riding, can I fully enjoy all the ups and downs in my life? Is there any way that I can have joy even I go through downs in my life? I told you Henry Nouwen's definition of joy several times. He said, joy is not the same as happiness. We can be unhappy about many things, but joy can be still there because it comes from the knowledge of God's love for us. Because joy comes from the knowledge of God's love for us. That's right. Joy doesn't simply happen to us. We have to choose joy and keep choosing it every day. It is choice based on the knowledge that we belong to God and have found in God our refuge and our safety, and that nothing can take God away from us. When you are going through the challenges in your life, do you focus on your problems or on God who is greater than your greatest problems? The good news is that God never gives up on you. God's love for you is unconditional and steadfast. God persistently invites and empowers you to acknowledge God's love for you no matter what life circumstance you are on. Consequently, you can live a heaven-like life with joy even when you go through the hell-like life experience. Been there and done that. The good news is that God is persistently faithful to you whether or not you are good. Santa Claus comes only when you don't cry. Only when you are good. But God is persistently with you no matter what. Emmanuel, God with us. Then how can you know whether God breaks into your life only when you are good enough or even when you are you are off track. Through today's scripture reading, Jesus tells us the truth. Please listen up. One day, Jesus goes out of the house to be with the people and sits by the lake. and a lot of people gathered around him, forcing him to get into boats. Using the boat as the pulpit, like this, pulpit, he starts telling them a series of parables about the kingdom of God. It first begins with the parable of a sower. The story begins like this. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, some fell on rocky places, other seed fell among thorns, still other seed fell on good soil. Have you noticed something interesting here? You see that the farmer does not plow the field first and then plant the seed. Contrary to our modern farming practices, first century farmers in Israel plant their seed before plowing the ground, not after. They broadcasted their seed. They scattered the seed freely over all kinds of soil. Isn't it interesting? And guess what? That is the way God chooses in inviting you to live heaven-like life, by acknowledging God's unconditional love for you, even when you are not good enough. After telling his disciples this parable, later Jesus explains to them what it means. The seed is the message about the kingdom of heaven. God is persistently with you. God loves you no matter what. The message of Emmanuel, the message of joy, and the soil is the human heart. First, a farmer went out to plant his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds ate it up. The seed planted along the path is those who hear this good news, but do not understand it. The evil one comes along and snatches away what was planted in their hearts. Although God graciously invites you to experience God's grace and to live with God's steadfast and unfailing love, you focus on your problems, not on God, so that you cannot experience the message. Moreover, the evil one whispers on your ear, how can you find place? How can you find peace and joy in the middle of this terrible circumstance? Forget about God. Look at yourself. You are being punished. There is no such a thing like a kingdom of heaven. Is your heart like the seed planted along the path? Second, after talking about the seed sown along the path, Jesus continues, some of the seed fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants scorched and they withered just as quickly because they had no roots. The ones who receive the seed that fell on rocky places are those who hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, and so when their emotions wear off and some challenges arrive, there is nothing to show for it. Is your heart like the seed fell on rocky places? Third, Jesus continues, other seed fell along the thorns, which grew up and choked the plant. The ones who received the seed that fell among the thorns are those who hear the good news of Emmanuel, God with us, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. Whether you are a believer or not, you cannot experience security when you let your worries attack yourself. Many of us have to struggle with the constant anxiety about the future, because we believe there is no one who holds their future. So we try to anticipate what is going to happen on our own. But the Bible reminds us, Christians, we say, we don't know what the future holds, but we know God holds the future. But even Christians continuously try to anticipate what God will do for our future. We have a name for it. Warring in the name of God. In both cases, we try to find our security in the worldly things, not in God. Is your heart like the seed fell among thorns? And finally, Jesus talks about what happens to the seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Jesus says, the seed cast on good soil is those who hear and accept the good news and then produce the harvest, yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Is your heart like the seed fell on good soil? No matter what life circumstance you are on, you find joy as you choose to focus on God, as you choose to acknowledge God's steadfast love for you. About 20-something years ago, I was severely depressed for a while, about 3-4 years. After a life storm hit me, I felt I was worthless. I felt I was too small. I was not worthy at all. I blamed others, and I blamed even God. And I was mad at myself. If you've been there, you understand what I'm talking about. It's so tiring. Being like that for 3-4 years, so tiring. But God did not give up on me even when I wanted to give up on myself. God still planted the seed. God sent me a lot of helpers. God still told me the message that I could stay in God's love. God still told me that I could stay connected to God. I heard God's messages, but I could not understand them because I focused only on my problems and the circumstance that I was on. Moreover, the evil one came and whispered on my ear, "Hey, Jinu, you are a mistake. You cannot stay connected to God and the people again. God has punished you because God has given up on you, Jinu." I felt that it was the end of the world. I let the devil one, evil one, snatch away the kingdom message. I was like the seed sown along the path. But God did not give up on me. God persistently broadcasted the seed of the message, the good news that God would be with me so that I could live a heaven-like life in spite of brokenness. So I started responding to God's message with joy. On one of the Sundays, my pastor preached. Jesus said, "I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. If you feel pains in your heart now, it is a sign that you must know that you are the reason that Jesus Christ broke into your life. You are the reason that God gave God's one and only Son. You are the reason that Jesus Christ died on the cross. You are the reason that God raised Him up from the dead." And I cried and cried with joy. I thought I was getting healed. But I emotionally went down the hill again as soon as I started thinking about my circumstance. I was just a little failure, having a pity party in a cave. I was like a seed cast on rocky places. But God was persistently faithful to me. God continuously broadcasted the seed of the good news that God wanted me to have joy by acknowledging God's steadfast love for me despite of my unhappy life condition. God continued to broadcast the seed of messages that God never given up on me. But I was preoccupied by the worries about my life. As I was focused on problems, I let my worries choke out my communion with God. There are thorns indeed. Now I can tell you that I was trying to find security in the worldly things instead of God, who is the ultimate security. George Miller said, "Faith ends where worry begins." and worry ends where faith begins. My faith in God ended where my worries about this life began. I was like the seed sown among the thorns. But God still persistently broadcasted the seed of the good news that I still belong to God in spite of my sin and my brokenness. I found cracks here and there in me. But God showed me that that was the reason that God sent Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ broke into my heart through the right those cracks. Hey June, I came all the way from the earth to forgive your sins, not in part, but the whole, and heal you and make you whole again. I was sick and tired of being sick and tired, mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, as I was riding a roller coaster of life. But God was persistently faithful to me. God broadcasted the seed of God's grace even when I thought that I was mistaken. With God's grace, God invited me to repentance. With God's grace, God invited me to be accountable. With God's grace, God invited me to this healing process. It was not just like a dispenser or a vending machine. You put money and then you get a can of Coke. No, it wasn't like that. It took a while. But because of God's grace, I was able to notice that God was inviting me to that program. The healing program. Healing ministry. Making me whole again. As God was healing my brokenness. The Holy Spirit empowered me to open my ears to hear the message of God's unconditional love for me, even when I was uncertain about my future. And the Holy Spirit empowered me to open my heart to accept the good news. Finally, I started acknowledging God's very intimate presence with me, even when my life was heavy and burdened. I found myself living a heaven-like life with joy, even when I was struggling with life challenges in my life. I felt joy multiplied 160 or 30 times even when I was on the circumstance that I could not be happy. And now I strongly believe that God opens my mouth to broadcast the good news that the same God who helped me will help you to experience the heaven-like life with joy, even when you are not good enough. God made me a wounded healer. W-O-U-N-D-E-D. Wounded. God has made me a wounded healer. I fully enjoy the roller coaster ride. And as I am about to take another round, I'm convinced that God will persistently broadcast the good news of God's steadfast love for me so that I will experience Emmanuel, God with us. Your life is like a roller coaster. Constant ups and downs in your life. This morning God tells you, I am persistently faithful to you no matter what you think you are good enough, receive my love for you or not. I never give up on you. No matter what the soil of your heart is like, the path, the rocky places, thorns, or good soil, I will persistently broadcast the seed of my word. And my word has power to transform you. When the roller coaster stopped, my son Joshua told me that it was so fun. It was so fun because you were with me. As a nation, we have been going through a lot of ups and downs. We have been severely depressed. Now God is opening a new chapter. Now God is about opening a new door. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. made the famous statement, "I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths so be self-evident that all men are, and men and women are created equal. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character." What dream God wants you to have today? What dream God wants us to have as a nation today? What dream God wants us to have as a body of Christ of today? Buckle up and fully enjoy your roller coaster life ride with God. Let us buckle up with God's word. Let us stand on God's promises. And let us fully enjoy the roller coaster ride with God. When the roller coaster stops, then we'll be able to tell God that it was so fun. That it was so fun because you have been with me. That it was so fun because you have been with us. We've been so depressed under the circumstance. But it's been so fun because you who have that steadfast, that persistent love for us. And today I picture that. We'll be able to say that to God someday as an individual and as a nation. How about you? How about you? God bless you. God bless America. Amen. Let us sing the hymn, "Great is Thy Faithfulness," together. Oh, I have to sing, but now I'm kind of having a hard time. Do we have a Kleenex here? Yes, God is faithful to us, no matter what. Let us praise His name. Let us praise her name, our Heavenly Parent's name. Great is Thy faithfulness.
Great is Thy faithfulness. O God, my Father, there is no shadow of turning wheel. changeth not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness.
As a people of God, experience God's grace through God's message this morning, we'd like to respond to God's grace. As a pastor, I'm very proud being the pastor of St. Matthew's. Even I have been here only a little bit over 6 months. God has already shown me a lot of great ministries God has been doing in and through us. And I want to be part of these ministries. I want to be the God's ministry team here with my siblings in Christ at St. Matthew's. How about you? That's the reason why I take this time so seriously, that we respond to God's grace and then I share my financial gift for this ministry so that I can continue to be part of these ministries. Please join me. Let us do together, continue to ministry, especially in this very important time in our history. Let us reach out to community. Let us continue to walk with the community and to show how beautiful it is to walk with Jesus Christ. If you are not ready yet, then please continue to pray with me. I will continue to hold you up with my prayers so that someday God will make you, you know, a cheerful giver to find joy in sharing. Please join me in response to God's grace together. God wants our love more than God wants our offerings. God cares about our hearts, not the amount of our offerings. As we count all the blessings God has already given to us, we cheerfully give our offerings to God, the provider with a grateful heart. Amen. Amen. Now it's time to pray together. For some reason, I don't see prayer requests. Let me see if I received it by email here. Okay. So for some reason, I didn't receive the text message with the prayer request for this week. Probably you see that on a YouTube page. So please, as you see them, let us pray for the prayer request. And this week, you know, you will receive the weekly prayer list probably on Tuesday. Let us continue to pray together. So while I'm lighting the candles, and as you see the prayer request on the chat, let us pray for one another together. Let us continue to pray for our country, especially this week. Let us pray. Let us pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us share the sign of peace together, the peace of Christ. Be with you all. Peace of Christ be with you all. Several announcements. Thank you very much, all the worship leaders. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. And thank you for joining us in worship this morning. It's your first time visit. It's been a while since you worshiped with us last time and you came back. Please join us, coffee hour, virtual coffee hour after the service. You can find the Zoom link on the YouTube page and also on our church website. And also, we'd appreciate if you can send me an email so that we can get connected to you. So please find my email address on the YouTube page and also on the church website, pastor@saint-matthews.org. pastor@saint-matthews.org. And this coming Tuesday, the night before the inauguration, we are going to have prayer vigil for peace on our front lawn at St. Matthew's. It's a 30-minute prayer vigil. Gathers together at 5:15, quarter after 5, for prayers and songs. And bells will ring at 5:30. It is a nationwide event. The inauguration, the committee asks all the churches to ring the bells and take the time and honor the people who lost their lives during the COVID, by the COVID. And also we'll pray for our country together, keeping the safe distance and wearing the mask. And please bring your candle, or probably you have a smartphone with a flash, so either a candle or flash, so we'll light the light together. And please find the information about prayer beyond the boundaries in our upcoming weekly news. It's about, I don't know if you have ever experienced the Lord's Prayer experience. It's an awesome program. I just tasted it about several weeks ago, and it's beautiful, and it's very inspiring. So pay attention to the article in the weekly news, and then you will have a chance, an opportunity to join this wonderful, inspiring moment together. And from tomorrow, I'll be on study leave for 2 weeks and on vacation for a week until February 7th. Joshua, the director of education, and also Reverend Jim Maffey, will be preaching on the next 3 Sundays. And in the meantime, if you need a pastor care, for a pastor care emergency, contact Reverend Amy, who is a pastor at South Acton Congregational Church. You'll have her contact information on our weekly news as well. But at the same time, if you have to deal with a life and death moment, matter, then please contact me, because I'll be around, so I'll be able to be with you. My siblings in Christ, God loves us so much. God does. No matter what circumstance you are on, we may experience God's power and God's love. So now, go in peace with assurance God is our God. the God of justice, God of compassion, God always with us, and God's love endures forever, and God's love wins. Let us continue to stand on God's promises, God's promise together. God loves you, so do I, and there's nothing you can do about it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let us bless each other through this blessing song together.
Holy One of Blessing, may our minds, hearts, bodies, and auras be attuned to your grace and to your light. May we live our lives in harmony with your divine attributes. Amen.